The following has been recorded in conjunction with OU Torah, the Daf HaShavua Foundation, and Congregation Beth Aaron. We continue now with Masachas Beis Daf Gimel Amid Beis. Previously, we had seen that the Gemara presented four different opinions which explain the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Mishnah. The last opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak explained that the reason why an egg which is laid on Yom Tov may not be consumed on that day is because of the Gezeira Mishum Mashkin Shazavu, that it was similar to a case of juices which flowed on their own from fruits on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which are prohibited for consumption because of the Gezeira Shem Yitzchot, that it would lead to squeezing the food to actually extract the juices. And Rav Yitzchak explained that the Chazal included in that Gezeira the prohibition of eating an egg which was laid on Yom Tov. So the Gemara then presented us with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, although he did not state explicitly that he agreed with Rabbi Yitzchak that the reason you cannot eat an egg is Mishumashkin Shazavu, the Gemara came to that conclusion because of the contradiction that he raised within the words of Rabbi Yehuda. One Mishnah demonstrated that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we hold Uchla d'Ifras, that when food comes from something which is separated for consumption prior to Yom Tov, it is permissible for Achila, and we do not say that there's a Gezeira of Mashkin Shazavu. But then we had another Mishnah from Masechus Rosh Hashanah, which said that if an egg is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you would have to wait until the second day to eat it, which led us to another conclusion. So this forced Rabbi Yochanan previously to say Mechlefes Hashita, that it must be that one of those positions of Rabbi Yehuda was recorded incorrectly, and in fact it was not Rabbi Yehuda who said that there was no problem with Mashkin Shazavu, but rather it was the Plukta of Rabbi Yehuda, in that case the Chachamim. So the Gemara now continues on the very top of Gimel Amid Beis with two other possible solutions to this apparent contradiction. First, Ravina. Ravina Amar Li Olam Lo Tepuch. Ravina says, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, it is not necessary to switch the Shitos and to say Mechlefes Hashita. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Devrayem Durabanan Karmeluhu. Rabbi Yehuda was not stating his own position. Rather, he was speaking within the words of the Rabbanan as follows. Lididi, according to me, says Rabbi Yehuda, afilu barishon namishari. I hold that an egg which is laid on the first day of Yom Tov can be eaten even on the first day. Why? De'uchle de'ifrasu. Because there is in fact no gezeir of mashkin shuzavu, and this is like taking food from food. Elu lidilchu. However, says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbanan, according to you, who do hold that there's a gezeir of mashkin shuzavu, odulu nihas, you would at the very least admit, acknowledge to me, the b'shein isharya, that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah it should be permissible to eat such an egg. Why? The shtei kedushos say, because Rosh Hashanah, like the other Yom Tovim, has one day followed by a second day, Yom Tov Sheni Shagalios, which is considered to be a separate halachic entity, and therefore just because there's a prohibition on the egg on the first day, it does not carry over to the second day. V'amru le Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan then respond to Rabbi Yehuda, lo, that's not so. In fact, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Kedusha Achasi, that it is considered to be one extended sanctity, one long day, halachically speaking. Rashi over here explains, Velo Damu L'Shar Yamim Tovim. Rosh Hashanah is not to be compared to the other holidays. The Hanach Lav Mishum Sveka Iskun, the Af Bizman Bezdin Hayu Osano Seshnei Yamim, in Bo Edim in Amincha Olamal. Unlike the other Yom Tovim, there were times, even Bisman Bezdin, when they would declare 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, if witnesses would come late in the day. And so therefore, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we do not say that it is considered to be Shtei Kedushos. Rather, the Rabbanim say Kedusha Achas. And so therefore, Ravina presents us with another solution to this apparent contradiction within the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that there is no Gezeira of Mashkin Shazavu. But according to the Rabbanan, at the very least, you would admit to me that on the second day it should be permissible to eat this egg regardless because of Shtei Kedushos. And the Rabbanan say no, because we maintain that Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas. And finally, the Gemara presents us with one more possible solution to this contradiction. Ravrina Redi Ravula Amar, Hacha B'Tarnagolos HaMedes L'Gadda Beitzim. We had been assuming all along that there was a contradiction within the words of Rabbi Yehuda, because the chicken which laid the egg, that is the subject of the discussion, was a chicken which was a medes la'achila. It was designated prior to Yom Tov for the purpose of eating, and therefore we were forced to consider it along those lines. Comes along Ravina Bredi Ravula and says perhaps not. Maybe we're talking about a tanagolos or medes l'gadav eitzim. Maybe the designation of this chicken, l'chachila, was for the purpose of laying eggs. In which case, as we've previously seen in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, consistent with his own reasoning, the islay muksa, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds a very broad application of the laws of muksa, that would be yet another reason why Rabbi Yehuda would say that the egg in that case is forbidden. Remember, of course, that the whole question of whether or not there's a gezeira of mashkin shezavu and if that should apply to an egg would only be relevant if we're talking about a tanagoles homedes l'achila. If the chicken was designated for the purpose of eating, it's on that assumption we can then have a discussion whether it's uchla de ifras, food being separated from food, etc. However, if we're talking about a tanagoles homedes l'gadav beitzim, then we're talking about a chicken that, to begin with, is not classified as food. There's no discussion, therefore, uchla de ifras, and we default back to the question that we had originally as to whether or not this egg is muksa. And so therefore, Rabbeinu there of Ula resolved this contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda by saying, we're really talking about two different cases. Over here, we're talking about a tanagola somedes l'gadav beitzim, and the reason why Rabbi Yehuda asks the egg has nothing to do with any gezeira mashkin shezavu, rather it's just simply a problem of muksa. The Gemara now continues with an attempt to refute. We're going to see which one. Remember, we had four different opinions presented in the Gemara, Rav Nachman, Rabba, Rav Yosef, and Rav Yitzchak, how they are to explain the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara is now going to present us with a braisa, which may raise a question that some of them will have to answer. We'll see as we go along. Continues the Gemara, may say, Echad Beitza Shenol B'Shabbos, the Echad Beitza Shenol B'Yomtif. The braisa begins by telling us that we are talking about a kid's situation where an egg is laid, and what we are about to present makes no difference whether it's talking about Shabbos or Yom Tov. Echad Beitza Shenol B'Shabbos, whether it was laid on Shabbos, Echad Beitza Shenol B'Yom Tov, or if it's laid on Yom Tov, the following is the case. Number one, Ein Metalteilin Osa. This egg may not be moved. We know that when we speak about an Isser Muksa, generally speaking, we are talking about an Isser Tiltel, that you cannot move, you cannot handle this egg. Lo L'Chazos B'Sakli, even if you don't need the egg for its own purpose, rather you're just using it to, in this case described over here, to cover a vessel which has an opening, and you would like to preserve the contents, and so therefore you take the egg and place it on top, says the Braisa, you may not do that. An egg which is laid on Shabbos and Yom Tov is muksa, and therefore you may not move it. L'chasos esakli. Similarly, v'lo lismoch ba kari amita. You cannot use this egg for the purpose of supporting the legs of a bed. Rashi says that if you go ahead and you take the egg and you stand it lengthwise, it can actually support something much greater than its own weight, and so therefore it would be another prohibited use of the egg, which is otherwise muksa. Then the Braisa says, aval, however, kofa aleus akli b'shvil talosh tishaber. It is permissible to take another keli, another vessel, and cover the egg in order to protect it, that it should not break. Rashi points out over here that this itself is a discussion in Masechta Shabbos. If you are talking about an object that is muksa, is it permissible to go ahead and move something else on behalf of that particular object? So Rashi points out that there is the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that you may not move a keli, even one that is not muksa, if your intention of moving that is to protect something which itself may not be moved. But obviously the Mandayomer of this Braisa disagrees and says that it is permissible to go ahead and to take another kli and cover it. So far we've seen three dinim regarding this egg that is laid on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Number one, it cannot be moved for the purpose of covering another kli, to serve as a stopper of sorts. Number two, lo lismach vakari amita, in order to support a piece of furniture. And number three, you may, in fact, go ahead and take another kli to cover it. Then the Braisa continues, Useka Asura. If you have a suffix, a doubt regarding the status of this egg, we are to still prohibit the egg. It is still Asur. What type of suffix are we dealing with over here? So Rashi says, at this point is, suffix Nolda B'Yomtev, suffix B'Chol. What would be this case? You're going into Yomtev, and you see the chicken has not yet laid the egg. And you come back several hours later, after Yomtev started, and behold, there's an egg. So the question is, was the egg laid prior to Yom Tov, in which case it's not muksa, or after Yom Tov started, in which case it is? So you have a suffix regarding the status of this egg. So the Braisa rules, sveka asura, that we would have to go l'chunra, we would have to rule stringently in this case, and assume the worst. We would have to assume that the egg was in fact laid on Yom Tov itself. And finally, the last din that is found in this braisa, v'im nis'arva be'elef kulon asuros, that if this egg becomes mixed up in a taroves of other eggs, there's a mixture. So you have many eggs that are otherwise permissible for consumption, and this one egg that was laid on Yom Tif, or perhaps there was a suffix regarding its status, becomes mixed up with the other eggs, even be'elef, even if you have 1,000 times the amount of permissible eggs to the one that is forbidden, kulon asuros, it would be prohibited to partake of any of those eggs. We're going to discuss the details of that particular halacha in several minutes from now. So here we have a braisa which presents us with a total of 5 dinim regarding the status of an egg which is laid on Shabbos and Yom Tif. Once again, that it is muksa, that you cannot use it for several purposes, although you can move another keli to cover it. If you have a suffix regarding the status of this egg, it is usur. And finally, there is no bittul. Normally we say that when you have something which is forbidden, which becomes mixed up together with others which are permissible, there's a concept of bittul, nullification. In this case, we do not allow bittul. Rather, we say kulon asuros, they are all prohibited, even if you have an overwhelming number of permissible items. In this case, 1,000 eggs, which is used for the purpose of exaggeration, but it could be even more than that. Kulon asuros. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam alo Rabba, according to Rabba, the Amar Mishum HaChana, who said that the reason why an egg which is laid on Shabbos and Yom Tif is prohibited for consumption is because it lacks the required Hachana. It has not been prepared beforehand. Remember, the Rabba was of the opinion that all food that is going to be consumed on Shabbos and Yom Tif must be prepared beforehand, designated, set aside, at least bepeh, with some verbal designation, which a person says on a day of Chol, on a regular weekday, that I intend to eat this on Shabbos and Yom Tif. And according to Rabba, that was the reason why Beis Hillel prohibited one from eating an egg on Yom Tif, which was laid on Yom Tif. So according to Rabba, who says it's Mishum Hachana, Havei Sveika D'Oraisa. In that case, when we're dealing over here with a Safek, a doubt, regarding the status of this egg, we're dealing with a Sveika D'Oraisa. We're dealing with a doubt regarding something that is potentially a biblical issue. And the rule is that V'chol Sveika D'Oraisa L'Chumra. We have a general principle, and this is itself a subject of a great discussion, but as a general rule, we have a concept of Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra, that when you have a doubt regarding something that is potentially an Issa D'Oraisa, we are required to rule stringently. We have to err on the side of caution and not partake of something which may in fact be a prohibition mid'Oraisa on a Torah level. So according to Rabba, who says that the whole reason why the egg is prohibited for consumption is because of an Issa D'Oraisa, so therefore, when we're dealing with a Safek, we understand why we would rule a Chumra. Ela the Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbi Yitzchak, however, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, who say it's Mishum Gezera, either Gezera of Piras Hanoshrin, the Gezera Mishum Ashkin Shazavu, that the whole prohibition in the first place was a rabbinic one, so then we're dealing with the Sekhet Rabbanan. We're dealing over here with a doubt regarding something that at worst is forbidden Midu Rabbanan. And the problem is we have a rule of the Chosekhet Rabbanan, Lekula. We have a rule that tells us that whenever we have a doubt regarding something which at worst would be forbidden Midu Rabbanan, we have a right to go ahead and rule leniently. The rule that we have to go ahead and treat a Safek with Chumra, we have to be strict regarding a doubt, that's only true when we're dealing with a Safek D'Oraisa. When we are dealing with a Safek D'Rabbanan, we go Lekula. So the Gemara takes a look at this Braisa and says this Braisa is going to be a problem for Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, because according to them, the reason why an egg which is laid on Yom Tif is prohibited for consumption is because of Gezer D'Rabbanan, in which case when we're dealing with a Safek, we should certainly be able to go Lekula, because we're dealing with a Safek D'Rabbanan. According to Rabba, it makes perfect sense, because we're dealing over here with a something which is a problem on a Torah level, and therefore we say, Kol Sveika D'Oraisa L'Chumra. So the Gemara goes ahead and answers this question by saying, Seifa Asan L'Safek Treifa. The Gemara suggests the following, and that is that we had been assuming all along that the Safek that we were talking about over here, the doubt regarding the status of the egg, was whether it was laid on Yom Tif or before Yom Tif. If that's the nature of the doubt, then we can understand why we have such a question. However, says the Gemara, that's not the case. The suffix, the doubt that we have regarding the status of this egg, is whether or not it is a trefa. Says Rashi over here, we're dealing over here with a suffix, nolda mitarnagolas trefa. The suffix is whether or not it was laid from a chicken, which itself is a trefa. It has some injury or some physical abnormality which renders the trefa itself unfit for consumption, it's simply not kosher, in which case any egg which comes from that chicken would also be not kosher. A suffix, if the chicken is a trefa, then the eggs which it lays are going to be a trefa. So says Rashi, suffix no demikanagos trefa, v'lavi yomtiv koi. We're not even talking about yomtiv at all. We had assumed that the whole suffix over here had to do with something with born egg. No, we're talking about an egg even during the week. But the suffix is regarding its status. So why are we mentioning it in the context of this discussion? After all, the Brisa certainly begins by talking about a Beitza Shnodav Shabbos Yomtiv. So Rashi says, I desire the Issa Beitza, I mean Abi Baha. Once we were talking about the prohibited status of an egg in certain situations, we go ahead and we include other questions regarding the status of an egg. So the Brisa, according to the Gemara at this point, the Brisa starts off talking about a Beitza Shnodav Shabbos Yomtiv. That certainly was the way we began our conversation. However, at a certain point, the price of shift gears, and it says, well, let's just talk about the status of eggs bichlal in general, and the suffix that's referred to over here is a suffix trefa. This is no longer going to be a problem for Yosef, for Reb Yitzchak, for anyone, because now over here, everybody would agree with dealing with a suffix deraisa. The whole question was only posed to Reb Yitzchak and Reb Yosef if we assume that the suffix was regarding an egg that was laid on Shabbos Yomtiv, and the question was a suffix derabanan. But now that we know they're talking about it here about a suffix trefa is a suffix regarding a deraisa, and therefore it stands to reason everybody would agree that a suffix deraisa we would go l'chumrah.